Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Hannon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Strange by country singer Miranda Lambert, who turned 42 years old today.
So you've made your way back to your other home. You got snow up there?
No, there was a little, like, I don't know whether it was snow or freezing rain or something on the drive up for a little bit in southern Minnesota, but no, okay, no snow.
All right. So it was just a week ago, I think, well, when we were talking about this, you know, need to get through this period of drama. There's really nowhere out but through, et cetera. Are we now, do we think we've emerged after this weekend? They get the win Friday and then a pretty normal loss Sunday. Where do you think this team is in terms of all of that?
Yeah, they've emerged. They emerged out of it. That doesn't mean you'll get sucked back into it. I've got a column I'm going to file probably shortly after the show, and sort of my weekly column that I got dislodged from last week because I had to deal with the drama instead. Yep. And do a weekend column. But sort of my general frame, or the general sort of my general thing I say in the lead item, is that the last week in retrospect was more crashing out than cracking up. The team, and particularly Moran, just seemed like it sort of crashed out for a few days. And now it's sort of like, you know, taking a breath and gotten its bearings back again. The weekend was very normal. Beat a bad team in Dallas, lost to a really good team, my best team in the league, even without Jalen Williams, in Oklahoma City, played perfectly respectable, even in the loss, had a really great first half, maybe the best first half all season. And then, you know, people, it seemed like players for the most part, felt like they were sort of settling in a little bit. There felt like there was less resistance to trying to test things out and see if they work before you get rid of them a little bit. You know, I think Morant seems to still sort of be going through stuff a little bit. Some of his answers apparently last night about, like, not getting to the rim, he seemed a little frustrated. I think there seems to be a generalized frustration from Morant that's not really primarily about the coach and the system and the rotations and all that. Maybe that stuff became sort of a thing you could put your frustrations onto more than, like, the frustration itself a little bit.
It is funny, the narratives that were supplied to explain what was happening, because there was a whole lot of, this is a guy who loved Taylor Jenkins and is mad that Taylor Jenkins is gone and whatever, and that just never seemed to be true.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
But obviously, well, so let's start with Friday, because you were there Friday. Is that right? You were there Friday?
The Dallas game?
Yeah.
I did. I left early because I was getting on the road, so I didn't stay for all the post-game stuff, but I was there for the game.
Okay. So they played well, and obviously Cedric Poward played terrifically.
That's the pattern, man. Cedric Howard has been – I was texting with someone during the game, someone outside of Memphis, about it, and he's been good every game. He hasn't been good every minute of every game. He hasn't been good in every facet of his game in every game, but there hasn't been a single game where it's like, well, that was a bad night for the kid. Like, there's even the games where he's had a bad shooting game, he's grabbing rebounds and assists and getting steals, and the games where like he has one bad half, but he had a good half. There hasn't been, and he's getting thrown to the wolves defensively every single night. He just has not had a single game, and they're going to come, but he hasn't had one yet that was just like, that was terrible. Like not a single one.
It's
just good.
Like I think he's just good. And I do think that if you take this is not the start that anyone would have wanted for this team, particularly with all this drama. You just didn't need that this early for this team. But if you ask me on balance, would I take this if Cedric Coward, the most important thing has happened, which is Cedric Coward looks really good and is more important really for the long-term health of the franchise, maybe certainly than anything else that has happened this year.
I don't disagree with you, but I think people could disagree with you. People are going to say the most important thing is John Morant looking like an All-NBA right. MVP candidate, John Morant. And that has not happened, right?
And Jaren. Jaren looking like a monster, too. Yeah, like those two together looking like they can carry a team, right? They do not. Right?
That has not happened.
Yeah.
So I think it's debatable. But I think the Coward thing, the Coward being this good this fast, I sort of said this early on, but I'll reiterate. I mean, the Grizzlies are facing this sort of two-path choice. Like, are we sticking with trying to rebuild around John Jaren, or are we just rebuilding? I don't think it's clear what that ultimate choice is. But Coward being not only this good, but this good this fast, elevates both paths. I don't think it gives you clarity on the path, but it like makes both paths look a little better. I think the Coward thing has been enormous.
It's funny because you can imagine a situation where a rookie coming in and being tremendous makes the rebuild around the rookie path the more likely appealing. Okay, let's just do that, right? But because he's the kind of player that he is, he doesn't make you lean towards either of those paths, right? He worked perfectly well.
No, not necessarily, because he's already, I know he's not starting, but he's playing the third most minutes. Like, he's third in pecking order in minutes. I think he's third in scoring. And so he's already the number three dude on the team, like, right now, and at a different position than those two guys. And so he fits in either way.
I did think that the second half, he has not had a bad game. It was interesting.
He had a bad half.
He had a bad half. Like, he was really good in the first half, and then he was, like, it was probably the worst I've seen, just in terms of forcing things and whatever, that in that second half.
Yep.
And whatever. I mean, that actually, it's surprising you don't see more of that, because it was not a good second half. Okay, let's get to Ja real quick. Ja was 3 of 18. He was 1 of 11 on twos yesterday. And maybe this is just when Zach Edey comes back. And Drew asked the last question last night of the press conference, and the question was, is Zach Edey going on the trip? And the answer is yes. Does it think it's likely Zach Edey will play on this trip? But I guess my point is, maybe that will fix the Ja stuff too. Maybe that will ease some of the frustrations of Ja when he's got his running mate there.
Yeah, I think it doesn't guarantee Edie's going to play on the trip. But given that he has been practicing with the hustle, you could leave him home and he could keep practicing with the hustle. And they're foregoing having him practice with the hustle, which suggests to me that they think there's a chance he's going to play on the road trip. I personally would bring him back in the Boston game, because he's not going to play two halves of the back-to-back, Tuesday, New York, Wednesday, Boston. Boston has the worst center rotation in the NBA, and they're 29th in defensive rebounding. That sounds like a game I'd like to have Zach Edey in. That's my recommendation, is to like Wednesday night Boston debut Zach Edey, but I don't know whether they'll do that. I'd also like to have him the game early next week against San Antonio going up against Wendy. I think having the 7-4 dude might be helpful in that game too.
For that. It'll be nice.
I don't know whether Zach Edey coming back like quote unquote fixes what's going on with Ja, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And this is another thing I write about a little bit in the column that'll come up today. I did it earlier this week, I think on Keith Parrish's pod, but to me, there's like a John Morant pie chart question when you look at his sort of poor play and like how much of it is environmental, the system, the teammates, the coaching, the lineups, all of that. How much of it is mood? Like if he's been out of shape, he doesn't play as well. And then how much of it is ability or approach, right? Like what you're capable of doing and what you choose to do. And to me, to evaluate Morant this season in terms of a long-term future with the team, in terms of a contract extension, and in terms of what you want to do, like you want to see if like you can clear up the first two.
Right.
And if you can clear up the first two, you can get a better valuation of the third. And so, I mean, one of the issues with the environment has been what he sees as a lack of space, you know, for him to operate. And also, I think a lack of like dynamic finishers for his passes. So the degree you can clear up that kind of stuff, you can get a better read on him and what he's really capable of at this point.
It is interesting the way you phrase the last category. It's both ability and inclination, right?
Yeah.
And is the inclination
this,
there?
This is what he was talking about last night when someone asked him about, and again, I wasn't there, but it's in Drew's story.
Yeah.
About not getting to the rim. And it was basically, it sounded like a certain president we may be familiar with. He's like, why are we talking about this? Quit talking about this. Right. We need to end this conversation. Where he basically said, you know what, y'all wanted me to like not do that because I kept getting hurt, and now you want me to do that. And, you know, I don't know, but it seems like he is more reticent to attack because of the foul injury situation, which might be the right decision. I'm not saying that's wrong to the degree that that's a trade-off. It might be the right trade-off. But he also looks a little less electric and explosive to me, which also is not, you know, given that he's in year 7 and he's had the injuries, it's not necessarily surprising either. But the question is sort of how your game develops over time. And as some things slip, can other things make up for it? And that's just an open question.
Well, and then you wonder if the three-pointers, which, you know, whatever, you take another 7 last night, you wonder some of that then is also just frustration. Like, sometimes it feels like he hoists a 3 out of frustration. And obviously he's a worse three-point shooter than he's ever been now, right?
Well, so far this season he's way worse.
Yeah, way worse.
It's been so bad that it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem real, you know, like, I trust his career number more than I trust his season number, because that is not the thing that should get worse over time. It's actually a thing that tends to get better over time. So I don't know what's going on with him this season that he's shooting 14% instead of 30%.
Right.
30% is not good, but it's more than twice as good. So I don't know what's going on with him right now with the three. I don't think he's this bad of a shooter.
In terms of Isolo, so he didn't change the starting lineup, and it didn't, like, they had 2 great first quarters. You know, first quarter.
They've been a second half team all season, and this weekend they were a first half team. So, who knows?
On the other hand, it is a little like last night, Jaren scores 5 straight points. Like, Jaren's going, and then, like, he doesn't. Out comes Jaren, you know, like that. Have you noticed things that he's changed in or stuck with in particular, even, you know, as he's trying to figure out what's working and what's not?
Yeah, I mean, he's changed lots of little stuff along the way. I mean, there's lineups that he played early on that weren't effective and he stopped playing them. There's, you know, players he's played more and players he's played less. So there's been lots of little changes. The macro idea of you know, obviously he has not changed the starting lineup. The general substitution pattern, like there's been changes specifically, but the general, like, quick, you know, sub early and quickly has continued to happen. I just don't think it's fair to ask a head coach to move away from like broad beliefs this early in a season.
Right.
Like, you need to give him time to test out what he wants to do. And then over time, if things aren't working, you know, what is his recognition of what's not working? What is his willingness to adapt away from what's not working? I just think it's 3 weeks into this season with the injuries they've had, it's just too soon to like demand major changes because, frankly, it's not clear that the major changes people are demanding are even the right changes.
In terms of the platonic ideal, which is what he called the first half last, what went so right and how replicable is that? I mean, obviously they hit a bunch of threes and, you know, like, but what did you see there that is what Memphis the Memphis Grizzlies basketball under Isolo is supposed to be?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't writing a game story, and the column I'm writing is not about one game, and I haven't had time to go back and watch tape, so I don't know. I mean, they played well. They hit shots.
Right.
Oklahoma City did not hit shots. Players seem pretty well bought in, and so I'd have to go back and watch that.
It's nice that the storm – it feels like the fever has broken in any event. All right. We'll look for the piece. Thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Grizzlies have a split of a weekend. Do you feel like it was a good weekend, Jeffrey? It was an important, necessary weekend, right?
It felt like kind of a return to normalcy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel awesome about this stretch of games coming up. It's not like all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, now they can maybe win a few of these. But it did feel like we took a breath.
I think it was critical to, like, stop the... I mean, both
totally
locally,
yes.
Both locally and nationally, we said last week, nothing can change now. And so let's revisit this in 2 months. You know, let's revisit this in 2 months.
Right. And back to the original plan.
And then we'll see. And we'll see at that point if a coach from Europe can't get through to the Grizzlies, or if Ja is, a problem, a forever problem that has to be moved, or if whatever it is. Right. And then we can revisit all these conversations. Now they got the Knicks, they got the Celtics. This is not an easy. We talked about this last week. Schedule is not easy. That game against Boston looms as a real opportunity, and it sure would be great if Zach Edey returns. And it feels like that's imminent, right? It feels like
yes.
It feels like we are there. All right. If you are selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. That's my simple advice there. Call Josh Hysaw. Phone number is 901-461-8147. It's Josh on the team at Keller Williams Realty. Or you can check him out at joshhasthebuyers.com. I talk about Josh all the time, but you don't have to trust me. More than 300 five-star Google reviews. And as we've talked before, among the things that he will offer, he'll come out to your house. And there are times that he thinks that selling a house the old-fashioned way is the way to go because you can get more money. But in this tricky market, when you don't, one of the things about selling a house is it's really tough when you don't know when it's going to sell or how much it's going to sell for. And if you take the instant cash offer, the Josh full market value instant cash offer that he will offer you, you get certainty about when and you get certainty about how much. And that makes it easier to move on, whether you're buying a new house, whether you're moving out of the market, whatever it is that you are doing. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or Josh has the buyers. .com. We haven't talked much about Memphis basketball. I was there for that game Saturday. We'll talk about that when we return, and I guess we'll have to get to the NFL as well. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I did something right last Christmas. I went to Robert Irwin Jewelers and I got Claire diamond earrings. And honestly, smash hit. Smash hit. Okay, I made a little mistake. I got diamond earrings that were too big and too bright and too brilliant. And Claire's like, I'm not this showy. I'm going to go back and we're going to get slightly smaller ones and another pair too. Like, what? That's what she did. Like,
double up.
But she's like, this is too beautiful. These are too great. And then ever since, I've been living off the. She'll just bring up the fact out of the blue that she loves these diamond earrings. And here's the thing. Now through Saturday, November 15th only, you spend $19.99 or more on anything at Robert Irwin Jewelers and you receive a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. Or, this is where you get to double up, or you take an additional 10% off already on sale diamond pendants and necklaces. It is that time. Give gifts and get gifts. It has begun at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It is going to be the holiday season. It's going to be a short Christmas season this year. Is upon us. Give gifts and get gifts. Now through September 15th, you can be smart like I was smart. And again, you spend $19.99 or more and you get a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. That's cool. Or take an additional 10% off already on sale diamond pendants and necklaces. I'll be honest, when I went in there and I talked to Howie, I'm like, here's the kind of things Claire might like. And he just walked me through the options. It was like, whatever. Here's the lab grown diamonds. Here's the mined diamonds. Here's like, and it was easy. And again, she's incredibly happy. And I'm going to do it again this year. Don't tell her. I'm going to do something else this year. But I'm going to do it again. And now through Saturday, November 15th, it is Give Gifts and Get Gifts has begun. You can go to Bartlett Town Center. That's in Bartlett near the Kroger. South Haven at the corner of Airways and Goodman, or the one I go to, the RIJ Diamond Showroom on South Perkins near Laurelwood. All right, Jeffrey, other matters to get to. We haven't talked about much. Memphis Tigers, who beat USF 76-70. In terms of the, this is so funny how it works. I shouldn't fight with people on Twitter. But someone, the headline on my column was, maybe they're not so bad after all. Right.
Sure.
And like, whoa, that's a lot to say. I don't think it's really a lot to say. Maybe they're not so bad. Like, I don't think it's a big limb to go out on. I'm not completely convinced that they're good. There were some good things, though. You know who's good? Quante Berry's good.
Quante Berry was phenomenal.
He was really good. Doug McDaniel ran the team. Like, he's on there all the time. Like, we know he was there. He played 37 minutes.
Yeah, nobody else had to get more than 25.
And Penny's like, he's like the guy.
Yep.
Right? In fact, there's all this confusion about who's good and who's not good and who whatever. Like, I don't know who I'm going to. You watch that team play for a game and you're like, okay, I get the guys who can play. Right?
Yep.
Like, I honestly don't know why Curtis Givens starts, with all due respect. Like, it's not that he can't have a role, but he's a point guard and they have a point guard out there. It's here are the dudes. Doug McDaniel's good. Quante Berry's good.
Sincere Parker's
good. Julius Thedford's good coming off the bench and
yeah.
giving you a little scrap, right? Aaron Bradshaw got in foul trouble and he was not particularly good, but like whatever. You gotta roll some bigs out there, right?
Yep.
Silla's the other one who played reasonable minutes, and then Simon Majak was just hilarious. He comes in. Could he be something? He really could be something. He came in the first half. Here's a kid. He's an 18-year-old from South Sudan who played in Serbia. And, like, Penny had never seen him play. He'd seen film, whatever. Like, he arrives in August. And the game is Memphis up by two, I think, in the first half. And they throw him out there. McDaniel drives, and there's the 7-1 dude. Finds Majak at the. Well, it's not like USF was guarding the three pointer from him, so he finds him basically for a straightaway three. And there's this 7-1 guy throwing up the first shot he'd ever shot that counted in the United States of America, and drains it. People go crazy. His teammates go crazy. And then he got a couple more free throws. He got a block. He was the thing in the first half. And he was also +9 in the first half. Like, he didn't, but then he didn't barely played at all in the second half. Bigs are going to be a problem. Honestly, bigs are going to be a problem, but it's a team that shot 10 of 27 from three. They only made 10 free throws between, 10 three-pointers between their first two exhibition games. They shot very well, respectably, from three in this game. They had, it's weird stat here. They forced 15 turnovers. All 15 were steals.
Yep.
Never seen that before. They led by 23 at one point. Then USF went to a zone. They struggled, whatever. They kind of had to hang on. But every time it got close, Quante Perry would hit a shot.
Yep.
And I have confidence in McDaniel, like, running the show. Like, you can tell the dudes who can play. And so they get the win. And it was interesting, though. Afterwards, Penny said, I'm only going to talk about the good. He said, this being my eighth year and this being a team that's just coming together, I'm just going to focus on the good. And then he also said that he was proud of the way they responded to his tough talk last week. He joked around a little bit that he had said what he said to the media about he was worried about the team. And someone asked, were you trying to send a message to your team by doing that? He said, whatever it takes. I don't really believe he was. Here's the truth. It's going to go on a big limb, too. I don't believe they read the Daily Memphian. You know, I don't think really Penny was trying to send a message to his team. I think he was frustrated with the way the team played over the first two games. And Penny is unvarnished and honest when he talks. And so, but I don't think that had much to do with it. Quante Perry went on about how close they are. And I believe him that they like each other. They're 15 new players. They're 15 new players. They have to figure out how to play together. Now they got Ole Miss. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah. As to the headline of your column, that it's not like I was talking to you during the game. Exactly how I felt was exactly what you wrote, which is, and again, some of that is based on expectations from a preseason, which, you know, I don't know how much stock to put into it or not, but we did find out they had a players-only meeting before they've even played a game.
Yep.
Penny was worried about the team.
Yep.
And I think you can sit there and say, like, I don't know how they're going to look.
Well, it's weird. The Grizzlies and the Tigers, for different reasons, the way that the weekend went took some of the pressure off.
Sure.
Like, you were starting to be alarmed about the mental state of the Grizzlies and the coaching and everything else. And my God, they at least got the win and they looked perfect. It was a perfectly normal loss to Oklahoma City. Phew. And the same thing with the Tigers. It was like, oh my God, could they be really bad? They're just getting blown out. And at least they, again, it doesn't mean everything's fixed.
Right.
And it's going to be smooth sailing, but it relieved some of the pressure. What I now, again, I will continue to watch this team. And my opinion of it will depend on what happens. There's no question.
Right, we don't know what USF is.
I don't think Penny knows what's going to happen. But my prediction would be that they have some struggles during the non-conference this time. This is not going to be last year's non-conference schedule. I just think they're still figuring out how to play with each other. You know,
I think they're still figuring out, like, the actual rotation.
And certainly the rotation. And then I do believe they will be very good once they get to conference.
Yeah,
I think that's what will happen. I think it'll be more of some struggles during this non-conference season, particularly as vigorous as it is, and then they will find their way and they will be much better in conference. They'll win the conference. They'll go to the conference tournament. I mean, they'll go to the NCAA tournament. That would be my prediction as to what happens. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was I really do worry about the future of Memphis basketball because there was no one there Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, it's college football Saturday.
Correct.
People are hungover from the game before. They just gone to the football game.
And it was a late night.
The night before, late night. Like, I get it, right?
It was a very weird time to have your first game.
It was a very weird time to have the first game. I totally get it. And it wasn't some marquee opponent. But, like, there was no one there. It was really, really
it was noticeable.
Empty. And this is something that was... It was once an institution. Like, Memphis basketball was what everyone waited for, the new season to begin. It was, you know, and I just worry about it. You know, and I worry about it. And there's a million things that have gone into it. A million things that have gone into it. Like, once upon a time, this was the only game in town. There were no Grizzlies, right?
Yep.
Once upon a time, they were a perennial top 25 team. And if they... Sure, they'd have new players, but they'd be new players who were either from Memphis, so you'd been waiting for them to play for Memphis because you'd been watching them in high school and they were highly touted, or they would be one and dones from somewhere else, and they'd be, you know, a team that you know, Kentucky wanted them or whoever else, LSU wanted them, or like you were, and
big names,
highly ranked teams, big names. You certainly would have gone to the Sweet 16 sometime within the last 4 years. And you knew the players and players who came back and who you knew. And now, it's just hard. It's remarkably easy once the games start to start falling in love with the new players. It really does happen pretty quickly. Like Quante Berry already. Like that guy's a gamer. Like I can see myself. Love it. He's going to be great. Simon Majak is a really fun story and an interesting guy. And if he could turn into a real player, people could 100% fall in love with him. Julius Thedford's a Memphian who couldn't have been more giddy about Tim Buckley wrote a piece about, you know, sort of it was this pinch me moment for Julius Thedford because he's back playing for Memphis. Like there are a lot of guys there who I can imagine you falling in love with, but you don't know any of them, like none of them. And then there's been no Sweet 16 in decades now. You're not highly ranked. Nothing. You're not expected to. This team is not expected to do anything. You don't know any of the players. I really worry about the institution that is Memphis basketball. And it's not even really there's anyone to blame. And again, maybe this is aberrational. maybe because it was the Saturday after that late Friday game. And maybe it's because it was a football Saturday. And maybe it's because basketball, it's kind of easy, early. We haven't really gotten into whatever. But it's the opener. It's the opener. And so, I don't know, when I saw it, I'm just like, my God. Are we witnessing the death of Memphis basketball? And that's crazy overstated. But that was my emotional reaction to seeing it. I'm like, holy crap. And again, they'll win. They'll pick up steam. If they win. And then you'll get to know these players. I do think it is incumbent on Penny to keep some of them. It is not a rule. Even in the world of NIL and the transfer portal, there is no rule that you need a completely new team every year. You are allowed to keep four guys.
Sure.
And I do think that helps. Like, if you can build around your four, you know, four... If you got a rotation of 8 1 year, if you could bring three of them back, I do think it helps dramatically.
Yeah, I want to be fair to him, though. I think the problem is...
He got outspent for Haggerty.
You know what I mean?
Dane Danger couldn't come back.
Correct.
And those are the only two we really wanted back.
Well, and like you're in this situation where you're kind of in this... Well, that's middle tier where it's like
this is a reality that didn't used to exist before.
Exactly.
You wouldn't lose a player to
K-State
or yeah. K-State. You wouldn't lose a player to K-State. Once upon a time, they're not a prayer. I actually started to wonder if Memphis is becoming more of a football school than a basketball school.
Well, I think I was actually going to say another factor I would put into it is like I think the school is well aware that if they're going to move up, they have to be able to spend on football. Football has to be the future. It's got said it, whatnot. And so you can't spin on everything.
Well, and here's the truth. Like we have always said, we're a basketball school, basketball school, basketball school, basketball school, basketball school. And these seasons were in different places. Like this was the zenith of the Memphis football season. But it was like, it wasn't 38,000, but it was 31,000 people were there Friday night. It was pretty good.
No, you could feel it on TV.
It was good.
Like in the fourth quarter when they started to get the stops and the crowd really got back into it, like you could feel it.
I handed it to the crowd because they were getting their ass kicked at halftime, and I do think people have learned about this team. You know,
well let's stick to the third quarter, see what happens. Yeah,
some people left, but given how late it was on a Friday night, I was really impressed by how many didn't leave. Like it was still pretty, it was rowdy when they were. I thought they were going to score a touchdown to win.
I don't know.
They had all the momentum. They had made it to the 30.
They had all the momentum. I just felt like once Brendan came out and you could tell like he could not go back in, I was like, man, it's
how much do you give Let Ryan off the hook? Because in the two losses, they didn't have their quarterback.
I mean, the problem is, like you said,
they didn't have their quarterback because he was playing him the week before when it was 38-7.
Correct. And then on top of the UAB game, as you pointed out, they were losing with him.
They were losing with him.
It wasn't like...
No, they were losing when he came out.
And the same problem, like, I don't know. What happens if they go to the half, they're down 7?
God. I do want... Interesting question, though. Like, I do wonder, is emotion to more people now start caring about Memphis football than Memphis basketball? And some of it is because we don't have another... I mean, we do have football programs all over. We got Tennessee, we got Ole Miss, we got whatever. But in terms of a Memphis team, this is it. And...
Well, I think there's also this other...
kind of matters more. Everyone knows it. It's America's biggest sport.
Well, there's this other dynamic at play where it feels like now we produce, as a city, we produce more football players than we do basketball.
And we got a new stadium. Well, it's funny. I was looking at the stadium because you notice progress every time you go, and I went this weekend. How much of a new stadium bump are they going to get in attendance? I think they will get some, but often when you take the wraps off a brand new stadium, when you open AutoZone Park or when you open, you get a real Papa John's or whatever it is. Yeah. You get a real bump, right? When you're just with all due respect, but whatever. When what you're doing is
just one side of the stadium,
is renovating the old stadium, one side of the stadium. I don't think you get some new stadium bump, but most people aren't like in that tower. I don't think they're going to get the new stadium bump that they would have gotten. Again, I'm not saying that's a reason to have done a whole new stadium, but if you'd done a whole new stadium on campus or something like that, you would get more of a new stadium bump than they're going to get. You're going to get a renovated stadium bump, which is not the same as a new stadium bump.
Most people that have their season tickets are not going to be...
They're going to be sitting the same place they're sitting in the same circumstances.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try to avoid talking about the NFL for obvious reasons here for just a little longer. I think we might be able to make it to the end, Jeffrey, if I'm really good and I stretch this, because I do think the baseball story is unbelievable.
Emmanuel Clase and
Ortiz.
Yeah, one of them has a
Luis Ortiz.
One of them has a video earlier this year where he threw a first pitch like 48 feet.
So they were throwing not games but pitches,
correct?
And people were betting on whether they would throw a ball,
like first
strike,
pitch
first
ball,
first pitch
yeah.
ball, like that kind of thing. And supposedly, off of Clase's pitches, bettors made $400,000. Off of Ortiz's pitches, they made $60,000. I just cannot. I know people do stupid things, and I have done stupid things. I have done so many stupid things. You're like, why would you do that? Or whatever. Like, I get that, right? Clase had a 5-year, $20 million contract, and he's the best closer in baseball. He could have made $100 million. And the bettors made $400,000. He didn't make that much because he got some. Why in the world would you do this? And now you literally, you've sacrificed the fortune that you would have made. You're also probably going to prison.
I mean, the only thing
what
I could say is
hell?
Like,
you, I guess you just don't believe you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
But how do you not know you're going to get caught? You point this out all the time. When there's
all the tracking,
when there's unusual betting activity, people get caught.
These guys are
stupid.
Correct.
It's just so incredibly stupid. And maybe Clase and Ortiz had to fall so that other people would realize how unbelievably stupid this is.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I'm by the way, it's Clase, not Clase. I'm thank you for not correcting me. But I'm not an idiot. I am an idiot. NFL.
Yeah.
Do you believe what is happening in the NFL is we're seeing some changing of the guard?
How so?
Well, look at who's leading in the every division. Right? Look who's in the AFC.
Okay.
You got the Colts.
Yep.
You got the Pats. You got the Broncos. And you got the Steelers. Still?
Yes.
Right.
I think the Ravens are now within a game.
Ravens are going to catch them. Right. Ravens.
Because the Ravens got back to 4-5. And
is it just some kind of weird randomness this year? Like, do we really believe those are the best teams in the AFC?
No. Like, do I really believe that the Broncos...
How about the Pats, though, man? How about those Pats?
I mean, where I do you think you have to consider with the Pats is, okay, they've now... They've gotten a competent head coach and a proven winner, and their quarterback has been paired with a guy that, while he's probably not a great head coach, he's a proven entity as a offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels, and Drake May's playing fantastic. So, do I believe in their future? Yeah.
Do you not believe in their present?
But, like, do I really think that they're going to go up and they're going to take down Mahomes and Allen and Burrow in playoff games yet? Like, I don't, but I'm not so, like, closed out. Like, I don't think my brain is so phenomenal that, like, what I think is going to be 100% true. But I, like, honestly, of all the teams that you've mentioned, do you know the one that I believe in the least? The Broncos.
Yeah, they don't give you any reason to believe in them.
This stat last week, do you realize they have as many 3-and-out punts as the Titans do?
Wow.
We're talking about, like, one of the worst offenses.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It does seem, but even like whatever, look at the Lions are up one down the next. Right? Like, what do you think about them? Like, and I don't believe in the Bills. Like, I have emotionally... It was actually easier for me yesterday than you would have thought, because about three games ago, I kind of gave up on the Bills winning the Super Bowl this year is what I gave up on. I just don't think they have enough juice, and so, but still, how do you explain beat Kansas City 1 week, get throttled by the Dolphins the next?
Did they have a single turnover against Kansas City? I'm trying to do it from memory. I don't think they turned it over.
I don't think so.
And then yesterday, you...
Is that just the randomness of the NFL then? Is that what that is? Is that what it was? I mean...
Well, I mean, some of it is, you know, some of it is, hey, protect the football. Like, you know, Josh on a quarterback sneak, instead of just getting the first down, getting down, he thinks like, oh, there's a chance to sneak out the backside. And lo and behold, here comes a guy knocking it out. Then they're at the goal line and Josh thinks that a tight end's going to turn one way, turns the other. They throw a pick there. Cook coughs it up. Like, he is somebody that's had fumble problems. Like, some of that is, yeah, like, just did you take care of the football? Like, to me, two of the three Bills losses are the exact same. Like, what happened yesterday to me was a repeat of the home game against the Patriots.
Do you What do you make of the Colts? Because Daniel Jones has become the old Daniel Jones the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so this is where I've always been, how I felt about Daniel. Daniel is down to down good enough to be an NFL starter and probably a top half of the league NFL starter. But when Daniel turns the ball over, he's unplayable. And that's what we've seen the last couple of weeks. But like yesterday, he gets like two quick ones and then he kind of settled in. But I mean, to me, it's just more like, look at that division. Like, why can't that team be a, you know, 4 or 5 loss team that wins that division? Like, that division's terrible right now.
Yeah, but are they? They made the trade for Sauce Gardner because they're a Super Bowl team. That's why you make that trade.
It did feel
to
me like
you got a Daniel Jones who, over the last 2 games, 4 picks and 6 fumbles, of which they've lost 3.
It does feel like everybody's looking around in the AFC going, all right, Burrow's out.
Who wants this?
Like,
right.
Like, hey, here's our chance. Like, let's just cash in the chips. Maybe it's one of those years. I also think there's this reality of, like, the Bills also know this isn't what matters. Like, in the end, they are going to be entirely judged by what happens in January.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher when you're a wild card team.
No, I totally agree.
By the way, the shutdown has not ended, but it's essentially ended. But it is not because they still have to now. They've agreed on the bill and on restarting the government, but they still have to pass it. It's got to be signed. It's got to be implemented, et cetera. So, we'll talk about it with Fishman tomorrow. The shutdown is not over. The impasse is over. The Democrats caved. The Republicans won, and the impasse is over. And the government will resume, but not yet. So still could be some struggles, whether you're flying or you're not getting paid yet if you're a government worker. But at least that will be happening soon. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff will join the guys on Jason and John. CJ Hurt will join Kevin Cerrito and myself on Jeffrey Wright and Company. David Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for Now Work Is Done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.